They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Lest we forget.
Friends, on this day of remembering the sacrifice of our forebears, we are all the more mindful of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, who said, "Greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends." Even more astonishing, says the Apostle Paul, not just for his friends, but his enemies as well. He says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Please remain standing as we join in singing loud praises to our King.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Welcome and thanks for joining us this morning here at Scots Church. Welcome too if you're joining us online via live streaming. We're glad to have you with us either way. If you are new here and you haven't had the opportunity to do it before, please do take a moment to fill out our introduction card, either digitally or on the card itself. If you're not sure what to do with it, you can read the details in the order of service. Hey, if you missed Thursday night, we had a very cultivated evening with a wonderful string quartet in the Westpac foyer to launch our 150th year historical display, which is just fantastic. It's there next door for the rest of the month. I don't know if you can see the pictures coming up. I'll just pause for a minute for those. Lit up the church in colour for the first time. The display is there next door for the month, and you really should take a look at it. Take a look straight after the service, it's all open. Or better than that, come in with your friends through the week, make a morning of it, take a look round. It's almost as good as the Meyer Christmas windows. Next in our celebration is Anniversary Sunday on the 24th of November. Service at 11 a.m, followed by the Proms concert at 2 p.m. Don't forget too, tomorrow, 10:30 a.m, join us outside for the Victorian Scottish Regiment Association Remembrance Day service on the small lawn at the front. Tuesday, our small groups continue our series in 1 John in the Robert White Hall next door. Details again are in the order of service, and everyone is welcome to come along. Our hymns this morning are on the theme of singing joyfully, so I hope you will do that together as we stand and join in our next hymn.
Oh, Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, not a hair falls from our head without you knowing. Not a day goes by that you do not see and know. Not a night passes without the sovereign preservation of the Lord. You are good, Lord, and your truth endures forever. You know the things that trouble our hearts are many. Many are our sorrows, our needs, our fears, our worries. Our hearts are in need of rest. Whether we find ourselves in a dark valley, a difficult day, a restless week, we call these things to mind. We lift up our tired hearts to the shepherd of the sheep, our guide, our nourisher, the Lord Jesus Christ, who provides rest for our souls. For your mercies are many, and what wonderful news is this, that you love and defend, that your mercies are new every morning, that the time to trust in you is now. Hear us when we call, O Lord, and answer us in your mercy. As Christ taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
restorative in many ways. Thank you, choir. During our next hymn, we're going to take up an offering for the ministry of this church to this city and to the world. Kids and teens are also welcome to leave and meet our leaders in the back. Parents or grandparents, if you'd like to meet our leaders as well, please step out for a moment. They'd be delighted to meet you. So let's otherwise sing, "Just As I Am."
Please be seated. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Eternal God, the shepherd of our souls and giver of everlasting life, we praise and give you thanks for the gift of this new day. We cherish the strength and purpose you instill in us, renewing our hearts, minds, and souls. We are grateful for the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus, who offers us forgiveness of our sins and salvation. Your promise of eternal life lights our way, inspiring us to live with purpose and compassion. Lord, we thank you. Heavenly Father, on this Remembrance Day, we unite to honor the courageous men and women who have served our country and made the ultimate sacrifice. May their bravery motivate us to actively promote and support the values of freedom and peace, and ensuring that we always remember their contributions. We acknowledge the dedication of our defense forces and the efforts and sacrifices of those who support them, whether in uniform or from home. We seek your blessings for all members of the defense forces and their beloved families, that you would protect them from harm and inspire them to work towards justice and peace, reflecting your name in all they do for your glory. Gracious Father of mercies and God of all comfort, we pray for widows, orphans, and all who have lost loved ones due to war, as well as those who are wounded and traumatized. Our thoughts are with refugees without homes or jobs, that you would grant them healing and peace, and that you would help Christians unite in service to share the love of Christ with those in need. And we pray that those working to improve international relationship may find the true path of reconciliation. We remember and pray also for peace in war-torn countries like Ukraine, the Middle East, Myanmar, and Sudan. Loving Father, our thoughts are also with the victims of severe floods in Valencia, Spain, and may they find peace and resilience during these difficult times, trusting in you as a God of strength and protection. And we are relieved and grateful that Lauren Reiter, our mission partner, and her CMS teammates in Valencia and Madrid are safe. We give you thanks and praise. We also pray for peace in the USA, and that President-elect Donald Trump will lead with justice and compassion. May he choose godly advisors and ground his leadership in Jesus, fostering peace, unity, and prosperity for the nation and the world. Lord, that you would inspire all of us too to place our faith in the power of Christ's love and hope as we actively support our country's leaders and one another in a spirit of unity and collaboration. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless Reverend Justin Ang as he shares the sermon today and Reverend Arthur Kiever in the afternoon at Scott City, that you would grant them grace, wisdom, and clarity, and help us embrace your word, understanding its meaning, and apply it in our lives. Inspire us to share it so that others may come to know and believe in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray for those facing health challenges, including our dear friends David and Wendy Nielsen, Graham Shaw, who is in hospital in Frankston, Pauline and Charles Castle, and Margaret Conrady, who has recently been discharged. We also remember Beverly Abilene as she prepares for eye surgery next week. Lord, we trust in your grace to bring them strength and healing each day. And now bless the tithes and offerings we give today, and we ask that every amount be invested in furthering your work, and grant wisdom to those who will handle the appropriation of these funds and bless the works of our hands. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Psalm 23. You can follow along in your order of service. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This morning's second Bible reading is from Mark 6, verses 30 to 52. The apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thanks, Rosalie. As we look at this word together, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that today we can sit under your word. We pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts that we might see Christ and that we may worship him as our shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as some of you know, Rachel and I went on a holiday earlier this year. We went to South Korea, and we were there for 3 weeks. And to say the least, it was the holiday that we needed, not the holiday that we wanted. Why do I say that? Well, within 3 days of arriving in South Korea, Rachel got sick, infected gums. She had to take 2 courses of antibiotics, and she can get quite nauseous from taking antibiotics. And so it was a challenge for our holiday plans. We planned a number of things to do, and we managed to do 25% to 30% of what we had planned. There were days when we had to stay in our accommodation. I was reading books whilst Rachel slept. You could say there was rest for our souls in Seoul. But coming back, there are days even now when we need to learn to pace ourselves, when life just gets too busy. I find myself trying to find rest in all sorts of places, in my vinyl collection, in film photography now. A friend of mine gave me a Role A35. And in Melbourne, finding rest in coffee. Social media as well. I'm afraid that even though these things are good things, I'm never satisfied. I'm always looking for the next LP to satisfy my desire. I'm looking for that perfect shot on my film camera. I'm looking for that perfect espresso shot here in Melbourne. And social media? Don't talk to me about social media. You watch the news and it's depressing, isn't it? There's no rest at all, no security, no satisfaction, no safety. I wonder, where do you find rest? I wonder whether you struggle with that too. You're looking for rest in the world and you're not finding it. You're looking for safety, for satisfaction, for significance, and you're not finding it. You turn on the TV, rest isn't there. You look at the internet, no rest at all. Sleep isn't restful. Now, it might not be vinyl or film or coffee like me, but it might be croissants and brunch. Great for one moment, but no lasting rest. Maybe you're dealing with health issues. You're going to all these doctor's appointments, and you're sick and tired, pun intended, of all the appointments that you have to attend. You just want to be healed. You want rest. Or maybe you're burnt out from life, from work. Even the weekends don't feel like rest anymore. You're taking the kids to all these events. You know, whatever happened to those days when you could send the kids out to play in the backyard or on the street? You think, man, adulting is hard. Where do you find rest? Where we can find proper, lasting rest, the security, safety, satisfaction that we're looking for. The good news is that you're not the only ones who have struggled with finding rest. The scriptures have a lot to say about rest. In fact, when we come to Mark's gospel, he shows us where rest can be found. Because there are people in the story who are trying to find rest. Jesus' disciples are trying to find rest, as we hear from Mark 6. You know, Jesus' disciples here are struggling with rest, even though they've lived 2,000 years ago. They have very similar struggles to us. They've been sent up by Jesus, they've been healing, they've been teaching about the kingdom, they're going from town to town, and they're rejoicing, aren't they? They come back to Jesus, and we're told here that they didn't have any leisure time even to eat. You know, it sounds very much like what we go through. Too much work, not enough time for a break. But as you look at your order of services, look at your Bibles, what does Jesus offer them? He offers them rest. He says, let's go away to a desolate place, to the wilderness, and let's take some time off. You can imagine what the disciples are thinking. Yes, time in lieu, annual leave. Yes, please, I need a break. And so they get into the boat and they go to the other side of the lake. Now, you might be familiar with the story because not only is this story in the Gospel of Mark, but it's actually in the other three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell this story from different perspectives. And we're told that the sea that they're traveling on is the Sea of Galilee, also known as Lake Gennesaret. Jesus and his disciples sail across the lake, and you can kind of guess what's going to happen next. Because they're celebrities at this stage. Celebrities who the crowd managed to see and they chase them after on foot. It's kind of like if Taylor Swift or Coldplay tried to sneak around Melbourne, as if no one's going to follow them around, right? But they're sailing across the sea and people chase them after on foot. Now, I've looked at the Sea of Galilee, and if you had to run the circumference of the sea, if you had to run on the entire shoreline, it's 55 kilometers. That's a long beach run. Now, if they're going only half of it, that's about 27 kilometers. There's a crowd who has run after the disciples who are in a boat and likely running 27 kilometers just to get ahead of them. Imagine the desperation. Imagine how tired the crowd is. You know, so now the disciples are tired and they need rest. And now the crowd is tired and they need rest. And I'm tired just thinking about it and I need rest. But what does Jesus do? Because this is really the key to understanding this whole passage. This is the key verse, verse 34. And listen to what Jesus does. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus has compassion. It's another word for sympathy. It's an emotion that describes something that comes from a very deep place in one's being. It's something that moves us to tears. You know, Jesus sees the disciples, he sees the crowd, and he has compassion on them. He's moved with pity. I didn't coordinate this with Douglas, but look at the closing hymn that Douglas chose, the hymn that we'll sing soon. Love divine, all loves excelling. The first verse. Joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. That's who Jesus is. We can sing that today because not only does he have compassion on the crowd and on his disciples there at the Sea of Galilee, but he has compassion on you and on me today. Pure, unbounded love. I wonder, when you imagine how Jesus sees you, whether that's the picture you see. In your tiredness, in your weakness, in your frailty, he sees you with compassion. Or do you see him disappointed, dismayed, and looking on you with disdain because of your tiredness? Because if you do, let me correct you right now. He isn't the type of person who sees your weakness and exploits it. He doesn't see your tiredness and says, you know what, I'm going to exploit it even more. You must work faster and harder, double time. No. He's moved with love and care for you and for me. And we're told in verse 34 that Jesus sees the crowd like sheep without a shepherd, lost. And there's actually a reason why Mark mentions this. There's a reason why we're told that Jesus sees the crowd and sees them as sheep without a shepherd. Because Mark wants us to see that Jesus is the shepherd from Psalm 23. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, Jesus is there with his disciples. He's teaching the crowd. The disciples want to send the crowds away because it's getting late and there's no food. Jesus tells his disciples, you feed them. Jesus knows what he himself is about to do. He asks to find food, and there's 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what does he do next? Listen to what he does in verses 38 and 39. And if you have your order of services, please look. And he, Jesus, said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. You know, this miracle, as I said earlier, is recounted in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when you look at all the 4 accounts, only Mark mentions the green grass. I can't find green grass anywhere else in the other Gospel accounts. No mention of green grass. It's really fascinating that he does that. And it might seem like a coincidence to you, but he intentionally does that. Because Mark wants us to draw the connection from Mark to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in yellow pastures, on dirt. No, on green pastures. And you know, sheep will only lie down when they're safe, when they are at rest. You know, Mark's message to us today is, where is rest to be found? It's not found in vinyl. It's not found in film. It's not found in money. Rest is found not in a place, not in your possessions, but in a person, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now you might think, Justin, that's just a coincidence. I think not. Because listen to what happens next in the story. Verse 40. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. He divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And he took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. You know, not just enough for the disciples, but enough for the crowd. We're told here it's 5,000 men, but if you include the women and the children, possibly 20,000 people being fed, they all ate, and they were all satisfied. Does it remind you of Psalm 23? It does for me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I shall not lack. In other words, I shall be satisfied. In fact, later on in the psalmist says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, how many baskets did they get? Not just 1 basket full of broken bread, not just 2, not just 3, I could go on. 12 basketfuls of broken bread. Jesus provides his disciples with what they need. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's an abundance, overflowing. You can imagine that each of the disciples would carry back a basketful of broken bread back to the boat. You can imagine Peter and James and John and even Judas just holding the basketful in their hand as they're sailing across the lake in the boat. It's clear that Jesus is their good shepherd who provides rest. He has compassion on his disciples. He makes them lie down in green pastures, and he is the one who provides and satisfies. But it's like one of those infomercials, isn't it? But wait, there's more. Because that's not the end of the story, is it? Jesus, we're told, sends the disciples back to the other side of the lake, to Bethsaida, crossing the Sea of Galilee. There's a storm. They're rowing, they're struggling, the struggle is real, it's struggle town. And you know the storm is bad when fishermen, trained professionals, are struggling. You know you're in deep trouble. And Jesus draws near. Jesus walks on the water towards them. And we're told that the disciples panic because they think they've seen a ghost. And he says, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. Jesus gets in the boat, and immediately the wind ceases, just like that. And the waters are still. Does it remind you of anything? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside turbulent waters. No, he leads me beside still waters. Now it's interesting, we're told that Jesus sends them to Bethsaida. So they're crossing the Galilee Sea, right? And the Galilee Sea is actually 700 feet below the sea level, making it the world's lowest freshwater lake, making it in a valley. The disciples are struggling in a valley, of water. They're struggling. They are close to death. And here comes Jesus and says, "Take heart. I am who I am. Do not be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Friends, that is not a coincidence. Rest. Rest is found in Jesus, our good shepherd, the one who provides, the one who satisfies, the one who protects when you walk through the valley, the one who gives you his presence, the one who walks with you. But this is the question that we need to ask then. Will you come near to Jesus? That's the invitation that he makes to his disciples here. He invites them twice to come near. The first time he invites them, he's about to feed the 5,000, and he invites the crowd to draw near. But what do the disciples do? No, send the crowd away. You know, they see the problem, they see how many people they need to feed. It's going to take 1 year's worth of salary. Send the crowd away. But Jesus is inviting them. Come to me. Draw near. Offer up what you have and I will provide. I'll be the one who is host. I'll make sure that your cup overflows. And the miracle only happens when Jesus comes near. The second time he invites them, the second time he invites them to come near is when they're in the boat, struggling against the waves. And he walks by them. And there's actually an invitation for them to draw near. Listen to verse 48. "And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea." He meant to pass by them. You see that last line, "he meant to pass by them"? You know, a better translation of that would be, Jesus wanted them to come near. He wanted them to follow him. Maybe you know the story from the other gospel accounts. Peter gets out of the boat and follows Jesus on the water. You know, the disciples see the waves and the wind and they're frightened. And yet Jesus desires of them to draw near. Draw near because I will be your shepherd. Draw near because I will make you lie down in green pastures. Draw near and I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, this was not planned, but if you looked at the previous hymn, "Just As I Am," the call is, come. Come to me. At this point, I want to ask respectfully, will you come near to Jesus in your need? Will you come to Jesus for the rest that you need? It's an invitation that Jesus has for not just the disciples, but it's for you and me today. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus. And the invitation to you today is, come near to the Good Shepherd. Come to him. Because he will give you true, lasting rest. But maybe Jesus is already your good shepherd. He's been your shepherd for years. But you're tired. And you're looking for rest. And the invitation is the same. Come closer. Come even closer to Jesus. He is your shepherd. He will always be your shepherd. Now, as we finish, you might think, Justin, I have a concern. How can I be confident that he will walk with me through my valley of the shadow of death? You know, you ask, work is hard. Where do I find rest? Relationships are too hard. Where can I find rest? Money is not giving me the satisfaction I want and need. You know, that day with the disciples, Jesus was the shepherd who would lead them through the valley, through the Sea of Galilee, through the storm on the water, and he said to them, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." But what the disciples didn't realize at the time was that Jesus would be the shepherd who would lead them through the deepest valley, the greatest storm of life, through the valley of death. Jesus led them in his death with love through to the other side into resurrection, into true and lasting rest. Brothers and sisters, you can be confident that he will walk with you because he's leading you into death and through to the other side, into resurrection, into true and lasting rest. That's your confidence. Come near to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one who walks with us even through the deepest, darkest valleys, through death and out the other side. And his invitation is to draw near, to come near to him, to trust in him. Father, please, in our weakness, we find that hard. And so by your Spirit, we ask that you would strengthen us, that we might learn to find rest in him. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's sing our hymn of response, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling."
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us here, here in person and also on the live stream. Just a couple of announcements. Please join us for refreshments over in the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building. If you do need your car parking ticket validated, you need to get an extra card. See Michael for that. And lastly, I do want to invite you to our memorial service, remembrance service tomorrow, and that will be held here from 10:30 a.m. on the Collins Street. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.